إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are talking about the ways of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, and with specific reference to earning and eating halal. And we are on the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah with regard to the issue of interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in ayah number 277, and this is after the other two ayat which I already mentioned. Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily those people who have belief, who have iman, and who do good deeds, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and who establish the salah, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, who give zakat, لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, for them there is reward with their Rabb, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, and they have no need to fear, they will not have any fear, وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and they will have no grief or sadness. Now the issue of grief and sadness, the issue of fear. Fear refers to the future. We fear things in the future, and grief and sadness has to do with the past. So لا خوفٌ عليهم ولا هم يحزنون is a reference to people of Jannah. It's also a reference to those people who have the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will have no fear and no grief. There is nothing for them. There is no need to fear the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the future for them, and there is no grief because Allah has forgiven their sins. So the issue here is that the focus is on saying that obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to do. And specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this particular ayah karima, Allah has mentioned four things. One is iman, which is our aqidah, what is our faith. Because the faith is important, because that is the reason why we do everything else. So the aqidah is extremely important. The creed is very important, because all deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the definite, and then that's why amilu salihat, in the Quran you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always combined these two things, iman and amal salih, faith and good deeds. Allah has not mentioned faith alone by itself or good deeds alone by themselves. Both are linked, because first of all, there are several reasons. One, it is linked because a good deed, the definition of a good deed is that which is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. A good deed is one which has to conform to basically three things. One is the the niyat with which the deed is done. So why did you do this? Did you do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or did you do it for some other reason? For example, the hadith of niyah, which is the first hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, innama al-amalu bin niyat. He said the reward of the deed is based on the intention. And he said that a person who makes hijrat for the sake of Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made hijrat for that sake, and a person who has made hijrat for the sake of business or to marry somebody, he made hijrat for that sake. Meaning that even though the person may have made the hijrah, and this refers to the first hijrah, which is from Makkah to Medina, even if he has made the hijrat, that the sawab of the hijrat, which is complete freedom from all sin and so on, it's a huge, huge benefit, that will depend on the reason he made the hijrat. So if he made the hijrat because he thought, okay, Medina is a nice place to live in, let me go and live there, or it has better business prospects, or I want to marry somebody in Medina, so let me go, then his hijrat is not an ibadah. That person's hijrat will not give him the sawab. That the hijrat of somebody who did it only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to Medina because Medina is the Darul Islam. Medina is the place of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Medina is the place where Islam is being established, and therefore he's going there to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his work. So that is a different intention. So the intention is very clear. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe to the people who pray. Allah is actually criticizing the people who are praying. He says, woe to the people who pray, who delay their salah and who pray to show people. So now, even though salah, what is salah? Salah is the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no other reason to do salah. Right? Salah is the ibadah. So even in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the ibadah is done for the sake of showing to somebody, for the sake of showing off, for the sake of, demonstrating your piety and so on, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this ibadah is not acceptable. It will be rejected and thrown away because it is being done for the wrong intention. That's the reason why iman is extremely important, because this is the basis of the good deeds. The second condition of good deeds is that they should be in accordance with the Sharia. For example, if somebody says, I have a lot of people working for me, I have a lot of laborers working for me, so at the end of a hard day, I am going to give them 2 pots of liquor so they can all enjoy themselves, and they are all not Muslim, in any case for them it is okay. So I am going to give them this party, right? Give them the liquor, let them enjoy themselves. Now this is haram, because as far as Muslims we are concerned, whether they drink it or they don't drink it, or they are Muslim or non-Muslim, is immaterial. You are not supposed to deal in that commodity, because the commodity itself is haram. So anything to do with anything haram is haram. So it's not only is drinking alcohol haram, or drinking any intoxicant, not only is it haram, but dealing in it is haram. Buying shares of a company which manufactures that is haram. Storing it and transporting it and doing anything with it, we have nothing to do with it. If it is haram, it is haram. Khalas, that's end of story. We have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even prohibited a person from sitting in the same room where alcohol is being served. Forget about the same table. He said, do not even be in the same room. So if you are not even supposed to be present in the room, where is the question of dealing with that thing? So for a good deed, even though now the person who is doing this, intention is good, he wants to help people. Similarly, for example, somebody says, I want to make this sacrifice for the sake of so and so. We celebrate this day, that day, Gyarvi, Barvi, whatever, different kind of things. And we say, go to this dargah, go to that dargah, I'm going with a good intention, I want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will go and ask this person to make dua for me, that person to make dua for me, people who have already died. Asking a live person to make dua, alhamdulillah, this is good. But somebody who has already died, you say, I will go and make dua to this person, that person. Now, even though the intention is good, right? Even though the intention is good, it is not permissible, because it is something which is outside of the Sharia. It is something which is shirk and something which is not permissible in the Sharia. So the second condition of a good deed is that it should be according to the Sharia. It cannot be something else. Third condition of a good deed is that this must be in accordance with the Sunnah, or at least must not contradict a Sunnah. The only reason I'm saying that is not because the Sunnah is not important, because there may be some deeds which are not necessarily of the Sunnah itself, because those things or those situations or those circumstances were not present at that time of Rasulullah. But the issue is that it should not be against the Sunnah. It should not be something which contradicts the Sunnah. So these are the three conditions of good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always combined these two things, Iman and Amalus Saleh. The other two things which are mentioned in this Ayat al-Karima are Salah and Zakat. And that is because when we look at Amalus Saleh, the number one Amalus Saleh is Salah. There is no other Amal that you can be doing if you are leaving Salah. You can't say, well, no, so what if I'm not praying? After all, I'm giving so much of charity, I'm doing this. No, none of that is acceptable, because if you are not praying, if you are deliberately not praying, you are actually out of Islam. So where is the question of any charity or whatever you want to say? It's a very fundamental thing which unfortunately today we seem to ignore, we don't know. May Allah save us from ignorance, as a result of which we put ourselves in this very serious problem, which is of escape or exit from Islam, which is very serious. So Salah is the number one Amal Saleh. The number one good deed is Salah. There is nothing which is superior to Salah as far as Islam is concerned. There is nothing which comes before Salah. Salah is the, as I mentioned and explained many times before, Salah is the manifestation or the proof of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah in practice. We said it with our tongue. Now we have to show it and demonstrate. How will you demonstrate La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? By salah. How is that demonstrated? The action itself, the intention itself is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the demonstration of La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, I worship Allah. And how is it to be done? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. So Muhammadur Rasulullah, the physical manifestation of Muhammadur Rasulullah of the second part of the kalima is to actually pray, because you are praying in the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the salah is, the kalima is the kitab wal sunnah. It is the hukum and the demonstration of the hukum. And this is demonstrated in the salah itself. That's why it is such a critically important action. And it is the number one thing as far as Islam is concerned. If somebody has left salah, then whatever else he or she may be doing has no value before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is mentioned as the number one thing. And the second thing is zakat, which is also one of the pillars of Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who has separated salah from zakat has left Islam. This is the opinion of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is ruling. And based on this ruling, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu actually sent out the army to collect zakat from people who were refusing to give zakat. Immediately after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, the wars of the Ridda, where many tribes, they rebelled and left Islam. How did they leave Islam? Because of this, because they refused to pay zakat. They said, we used to pay zakat to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are not paying now to anybody else. And as Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said, I will fight them if they do not pay zakat. And Abu Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu said to him, and some other sahaba, they said to him, how will you fight Muslims? How can you fight Muslims? He said, a person who has left, who has separated salah from zakat, is somebody who has left Islam. This is the ruling of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, they are not Muslim. And therefore, I will fight them for that reason. Even if there is the rope of a camel which is missing from the zakat, I will take the sword to that person. And he told Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, you used to be so strong before Islam. What happened to you after Islam? You have become soft. So this is the issue of zakat. Similarly, another example, that is where the ruling of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually came in, which is that the people of Taif, they came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said to him that they are ready to accept Islam if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is willing to give them just one consideration, which is that they will not pay zakat. They said, we will accept you, we will accept Allah, we will establish salah, but we will not pay zakat. This is the only condition, and if you agree with that, then we will accept Islam. This happened before Fatah Makkah. So many of the sahaba, they advised Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, please go soft on these people. This is Banu Saqif is a big and very powerful tribe. And we all know the incident of Taif with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. He said, they have come on their own, they have come to you. If they become our allies, then we will become very strong, and the Quraysh of Makkah will not be able to threaten us. So therefore, please accept this, and gradually they will come into Islam, they will start paying zakat. Gradually this will happen over time, their hearts will change. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nothing doing. He said, no way. The salah and zakat are pillars of Islam. The one who separates salah from zakat is not a Muslim, and he sent them away. He refused to accept their Islam. He sent them away, they went away. And then, as we know, after Fatah Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam Makkah without the help of anybody else. And after Fatah Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam Taif itself, which is in the Battle of Hunain. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Taif. So the people of Taif came to him as his slaves, literally. Now, the point I'm saying is that that is the importance of zakat. So, salah and zakat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the bashara, where he said, La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. People who do this, people who have iman, people who do good deeds, and the two primary good deeds are salah and zakat. For these people, there is no fear and there is no sadness. So, for them, their future, inshallah, is assured in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after them, will protect them, will take care of them, and so also in the akhirah. And their past is also assured. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, they have nothing to fear in their past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all their sins. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. This is the beauty of following the deen of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do this and to keep us among those for whom it is said, La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.